This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Here we go, Las Vegas, at 12 noon in the Valley. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas, Wednesday, August 26, 2020. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless with you on 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, streaming on lvsportsnet.com and on the TuneIn app. Wherever you get your streaming audio, we are there. Good afternoon, Gary Lawless, and how are you?
I'm great, Dan Duva. How are you?
I feel like we just blinked and we were at these very same microphones just minutes ago. In fact, it was last night we were here to call Game 2 of the second round series between the Knights and the Canucks. And unlike Game 1 of the series, which Vegas dominated, 1-5-0, Game 2 started with an early goal for the Canucks and eventually a 5-2 victory, the empty netter sealing it at the end. But the Knights, when they got to 2-1, it was interesting, but Vancouver took the reins the rest of the way.
Well, we talked about, in other games, lessons that need to be learned in the postseason, and Vegas learned a couple lessons along the way and didn't have to suffer a loss for it. They suffered a loss last night, and there are a whole bunch of lessons to be gleaned from that game last night. It'll be interesting to see if they actually pick them up and if they're able to put them to use.
We will go through the contest from last night, dive in deeply to that one. We'll also hear some comments from head coach Pete DeBoer. We'll also hear from Golden Knights forward Mark Stone. Featured guest on today's broadcast, Commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, slated to join us in just about 14 minutes from now, so you'll want to stay tuned to hear the commissioner. We'll also look around the National Hockey League. There are three games today, including one that will begin in minutes, coming up at noon Pacific time. That's just a little bit from now. We don't have a puck drop time, but coming up any minute now, it'll be the Islanders and the Flyers, New York leading that series 1-0. At 5 o'clock Pacific, it's the Lightning and the Bruins. That series tied at 1-1. It was Tampa Bay winning in overtime yesterday, so back-to-back in that series for the Bolts and the Bees. And then this evening at 7:30, Colorado and Dallas and the Stars with a 2-0 series lead for an injury-plagued Avalanche club. And the Dallas Stars defying what we thought would be their MO, winning low-scoring games. They're one of the highest-scoring teams here at the Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. So three games on deck today, and we'll set it all up for you as we charge through Nighttime at Noon. Later on, of course, today, here on Fox Sports Las Vegas, you'll have the Vegas Golden Knights Insiders show. That begins at 4 o'clock. Darren Millard, Ryan Wallace will guide you through that, and they'll take you through some of the things that have developed today. There's news with the Golden Knights that we'll touch on. The Arizona Coyotes have been slapped on the wrist by the National Hockey League. So what we might not get to here in this hour, we will surely get to with that show later this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And then, by the way, there's another game tomorrow. It'll be a 6:45 start. 6 o'clock pregame show here on the radio. Game 3 Thursday for the Golden Knights and the Canucks. Okay, Gary, where would you like to start in diagramming the game? Because in my mind, everybody knew the Canucks were going to push back. The counterpunch, the potential of Toffoli coming back into the lineup, which he did, the resurgence of the young players like Quinn Hughes, Elias Pettersson, who struggled in Game 1. Which of the things that changed from Game 1 to Game 2 were most consequential from a Vancouver point of view?
Well, Toffoli, I think, had a massive impact. And I do think a lot of what Vancouver was able to achieve is a result of mistakes from the Golden Knights. But let's talk about what Vancouver did well. Markstrom was better. He was very sharp, and when they needed him in the second period to keep his team ahead and in the game, he was fantastic. I think Toffoli unlocked two of their key guys, Horvat and Pettersson. He did some fantastic things to get those guys going and to help them, and he converted as well. So Toffoli was the big story for me on the Vancouver side of things last night, and I think we talked last night. He was the first star for me. I think I went Toffoli, Markstrom, Pettersson. Those were the three stars in my view.
And I'm not going to compare Tyler Toffoli to Willis Reed, but in 1970, Willis Reed who had been injured for the New York Knicks, comes out of the tunnel, takes a couple of shots, nails them during warmups, and he didn't have much of an impact on the game. It was more the emotional boost that he gave the New York Knicks en route to an NBA championship, and you still hear the reverberations of Marv Albert on the play-by-play. Here comes Willis! Obviously not the same circumstance, but I bring it up because the psychological impact of a key player who had missed the previous 10 games, who was acquired from the Kings to help an average Vancouver club on the cusp of making the Stanley Cup playoffs into a truer contender in the postseason, they get him back, and it just seemed that the confidence level from those other players was at a higher level. Oh, and by the way, unlike Willis Reed, who didn't really contribute in that basketball game 50 years ago, boy, oh boy, in this one, Tyler Toffoli, though still hobbled by a foot injury, managed to put up the 3 points. You know, I mean, he's critical in this contest, and that was what was notable to me, not only Toffoli's impact, but also the psychological impact. You want to listen to what Pete DeBoer had to say from the Vegas standpoint? Let's go to cut one. Pete DeBoer speaking to the media last night about Vegas's early difficulty.
Yeah, we got exactly what I expected. You know, I thought they came out and really, you know, with some gas in the first period. You know, we knew it was coming, and for whatever reason, we didn't look like we were ready for it. That's all we've talked about. So that's a little bit disappointing. You know, spotting them the 2 goals. I liked our push after that. You know, we didn't get rewarded for the work we put in the second period, and then, you know, gave them that face-off goal at the end of the period, which really was a backbreaker going into the third.
So you hear some of the problems Pete DeBoer points out from last night. He added to that today, Gary, that when you look at some of those problems in the early stages of the game, you know, for the Golden Knights, that it's a different kind of a loss than their only previous loss here in the postseason when they lost to Corey Crawford and the Chicago Blackhawks in that series, Game 4. You had a Chicago team facing desperation. The Knights played well, but Corey Crawford just was a little bit better. That wasn't the case with the loss last night.
No, this was self-inflicted. They weren't ready. They weren't mentally tuned in at certain situations, and they opened the door for the Canucks in a number of spots. Like Pettersson, that goal at the end of the second period, he is left all alone in front of Robin Lehner. Look, leave Jay Beagle there. Leave Mott there, or Gaudette, or Fantenberg. Don't leave one of the 5 most dangerous players in the National Hockey League unmarked in front of your goalie at the end of a period. It's a defensive zone faceoff at the end of the period. Be aware of who's on the ice. Talk to one another and make a determination. That guy gets tackled and dragged to the ice before he gets anywhere near the puck in the slot.
Yeah, and it's a focus thing because, as you point out, it happens with just about a minute and a half to go in the second period. And while we might think, okay, which defensemen were on the ice for that goal, as I look back on a couple of replay angles, Gary, the guy who sort of let Pettersson escape to that spot was William Karlsson. Karlsson ends up standing beside Pettersson, watching the puck. Edler's got the puck on the left boards, and there's nobody within 5 feet of Edler. He's not challenged or rushed. He's got room to look. He sees Pettersson kind of step away from Karlsson behind his back, finds himself all alone in front of the net. So there were multiple problems on that particular play, and while I'm sure the coaching staff could break it down better than we could, it's worth pointing out that it's not simply a defensemen problem and guys being out of position. You've got to use all 5 players.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when you're taking a defensive zone faceoff. And part of it is who's taking the faceoff. Bo Horvat seems to win every faceoff that he takes. He won 21 out of 26 faceoffs that he took in the game last night. Now, Jonathan Toews took a similar percentage of Chicago faceoffs, but Bo Horvat is not only winning a bunch of them, the secondary draw guys like Jay Beagle, he won 11 out of 16. And then, you know, Elias Pettersson won 6 out of 12. But you got the regulars for Vegas who are struggling big time. So to me, if you know, and by that point, late second period, you already know it's a hard night in the faceoff circle. Therefore, you need to be even more focused on what to do if Vancouver wins an offensive zone draw late in the period.
Yeah, well, DeBoer just said, you know, against Chicago, we had Jonathan Toews. Well, they figured out a way to be ready for Jonathan Toews, and now they have Bo Horvat, which it's interesting. We were in Vancouver in year one, and Horvat had taken – you were making a making a big deal out of all the draws that Horvat had taken. And we asked Travis Green about it, and he said – he's going to be our guy, and he's going to struggle a little bit now, but at some point in time, he's going to be dominant as a result of what he's going through right now. So excellent observation from Duva. And
I don't remember that at all.
I remember everything you
that
say,
is
man.
The mark of a great partner. That's well done. Presumably, I have it written down someplace. Okay, so that happened late in the second period. The Knights had actually done a lot of good things in the second period. They'd scored a goal 6.5 minutes in, Tuck from Watt and Theodore. Here's Mark Stone in Cut 2 talking about the difficulties that the Knights faced after falling behind by two.
I don't know. I mean, spotting them two goals early, didn't come out ready to play. It's kind of similar to the game four against Chicago. Give up two goals, then we start playing. I mean, you can't spot teams two goals in this league. Obviously, they played better, but you know, from the 15-minute mark of the first period until 2 minutes left in the second, we're dominating the game. But you can't get down 2-0 in this league. You use way too much energy trying to come back.
So there's Mark Stone speaking to the media last night. And when you talk about getting back in gear, Gary, they managed to go from 6 first-period shots to 22 second-period shots. And that is strictly the shots on goal. Vegas ends up with more than 90 attempts in the game, 40 on goal, 40 more were blocked. We've got just about a minute left here, Gary. Quick thought on what you take out of how Vegas got so many pucks toward the net, but so many that did not get through to Jacob Markstrom.
Well, don't worry about what I think. Mark Stone was just asked about it, and his first response was, well, how do you get more through? And he said, well, shoot quicker. And then he said, we did get 40 through. So listen, if you have 80 attempts in game three, you know, that's a real good place to start. You just got to shore up a few things. And really, I think this is a chance for Pete DeBoer to say, wake up. We're in a series. They're dangerous. You got to have your mind in here, and you got to take care of the details.
We have a lot more to say about the contest last night. Plenty to look forward to in Game 3 coming up on Thursday. But when we come back, the commissioner of the National Hockey League, Gary Bettman, will join us live. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Welcome back, everybody. 12:16 in Las Vegas. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless. Glad you could be with us for Nighttime at Noon. Keeping an eye on the hockey today, the Flyers lead the Islanders 1-0. They're less than 3 minutes into the game. New York leading that series 1-0. We'll have an eye on all three games today as we move through the afternoon and the evening. Time to welcome our guest to the broadcast. He is commissioner of the National Hockey League. He is Gary Bettman. Mr. Bettman, Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. How are you today?
I'm good, guys. How are you? How come you're not watching the Islanders Flyers? That's what I'm doing while I'm talking to you.
We are sitting in the same room, Commissioner, where we broadcast the games on the radio, and thankfully we have several large screens, so we are watching. We're not doing play-by-play of this game. You wouldn't be very happy about that. But we are enjoying all of the hockey. And, you know, I guess, Commissioner, that's where I'd like to begin. For a hockey fan, we are so much enjoying wall-to-wall hockey. What is a day like for you balancing business of the NHL and consuming all of this hockey?
Well, there's no separation. My days, as they've been since the middle of March, are spent on the phone, on emails, on Zoom calls. And I remember when we played the first play-in game, I just felt elation that with everything that we were doing, we were actually getting to play hockey. So I do what I have to do on an ongoing basis. And if there's some downtime, I watch the games totally without you know, any background interference. But like now, if I have something else I need to do, I have the games on in the background.
And so, in other words, Commissioner, there's no hockey overload for you. You're enjoying every second of this.
Well, actually, I'm watching every game. So yeah. It's either getting my undivided attention or I'm doing something else with it's on in the background, but I'm watching every game. And how awesome is that?
Especially exactly right.
People who are staying home in the afternoons, there's something to do. And, you know, with a triple header today, you certainly can get a good taste of NHL hockey over the course of the next, 10 hours.
Well, actually, when this started and we were getting, you know, 5 and 6 games a day every day, and in Vegas, you could get up at 7 o'clock, walk the dogs, cook breakfast, make a pot of coffee, and get on the couch at 9, and you could watch till 10 o'clock at night. It was glorious. It was one of the greatest hockey viewing experiences of my life. I loved it.
And if you had to take the dog for a walk, Gary, you could listen to the games on the radio, too.
Well, you could do that as well.
Well,
yes.
Actually, you go for a walk during an intermission. I was having the flip side issue for a while, watching games till 1:30, 1:45 Eastern time, and then getting up at 6:30 in the morning. So even though I'm saying, why am I so tired? But it was a lack of sleep. But it's really all good. I mean, to be able to see what our players are doing, to look at the commitment that they've made to the game, the fact that they've agreed to be in the bubble and away from their family and friends for an extended period of time, they truly are remarkable. And as good as they are for being willing to do that, they're also complying with the protocols, which is why our track record on testing has been as strong as it's been.
Well, it's a huge endeavor, obviously. And I guess, you know, we'll start right there. In your view, how is it going? What's working? And, you know, listen, I know it's on the fly, but is there anything that you think you need to tweak that maybe you can tweak?
No, you know, we whether it was hockey operations under Coley Campbell, or events setting up the bubbles under Steve Mayer's group, the medical advice we've been getting, the way testing has been set up, the way we've gotten incredible cooperation from the teams and the players and the Players Association, it's all worked. But it's hard to be in isolation, even if you're doing it with your teammates and you're away from your family and friends. And, you know, we still have a bit of a ways to go. So we don't take anything for granted. And the vigilance has to continue every single moment of every day. And as I said, everybody who's in the bubble's been spectacular about that.
Of course, the tests all for the virus all have been negative. And the NHL releasing that information each week with the number of tests and the number of people tested. And so far, 0 positive tests in the bubble.
What we said from the outset, as we were considering the alternatives, weighing the options, trying to decide where the right places for the hubs would be, everything we did started with a focus on health and safety. And it was actually gratifying a couple of weeks into the return to play, hearing players quoted publicly as saying, this may be the safest they felt since the middle of March, because, you know, the bubbles are tight, and we're testing all the players and their personnel, team personnel, every day.
And, Commissioner, with that reality and how well the NHL has executed the safety in the bubble and the hockey in the bubble, as we've already detailed, has been enjoyable, I would think, an average fan might think that, okay, if the NHL is doing so well from the hockey and from the health, how is the NHL doing from the business side of things? There's a lot of money involved here. You've got television broadcast rights. You've got the collective bargaining worked out with the Players Association. How about from a business side of you? Are things as working well as you would like on that side?
Well, first of all, the return to play wasn't for financial reasons. We had been paid all of our national TV rights for the rest of the year. That at the present time isn't one of our major sources of revenue. The fact that we're not playing in front of fans and the other aspects of the current situation means, you know, there was a large revenue component that was lost. We did this because our fans and our players were telling us that it was important that we try to conclude the 1920 season, 2019-2020 season. Otherwise, it sounds like 1920. But at the end of the day, this is an extraordinarily expensive and difficult undertaking, and we did it because we thought it was appropriate, and that was what, as I said, our players and our fans wanted us to do. We're not making a lot of money by doing this.
Well, you know, the broadcast element of it, and in a sense, there is an opportunity here. I would ask, first of all, you know, what do the metrics say? Are people watching? Are people paying attention? And the second part of that is, are you finding out through however you gather that information, are some new eyeballs on the game, and are some people going to hang around and become NHL fans as a result of this?
You know, time will tell. The broadcasts have been terrific. The coverage by the regionals and by NBC in the United States and by Rogers and their regionals and TSN regionals in Canada have been extraordinarily well produced. We're getting lots of eyeballs, people watching. But, you know, in the final analysis, we're in extraordinary times. As you know, we're not normally playing in July and August and into September. And so, you know, there are a whole host of things that we're going to have to evaluate when this was and this is over. But, you know, I wouldn't draw too many conclusions right away because these are extraordinary times. And actually, there's more competition, you know, than we're normally used to this time of year. Whether it's baseball, for example, or golf or the other things that are out there. So, you know, it's clear we have the ability to play any time of the year. I do think that first and foremost, we're in the right time frame, whether we start in October or November or even December next season or even beyond that. The fact is we're reacting to the extraordinary circumstances, but I'm not sure that, I'm pretty sure that playing over the entire summer is not what our fans are used to. And while I think there was an appetite for missing the game and concluding the season, and we're trying to satisfy that appetite, I'm not sure that we're learning that this is exactly the way we want to be playing our seasons under normal circumstances.
Yeah, I'm not for, I don't get a vote, but I'm not for changing the calendar at all. I prefer the traditional calendar for sure. And I can tell you, you know, you mentioned that, you know, time will tell. The numbers for the Vegas games, both nationally and in the local market, regional or on NBC, have been enormous. People, this market has really responded well to what you've put on. You mentioned next year, and I guess that's
Pause for 1 second there, Gary.
Sure.
You know, part of what's going on in Vegas is a testament to the extraordinary efforts that have been made, starting with Bill Foley and everybody associated with the Golden Knights, to make Vegas a hockey town. This may be perhaps the most successful, extraordinary expansion that anybody's ever seen in any sport. And kudos to everything that's been done in the market, and kudos to the great fans in Vegas who've really gravitated to our game.
Yeah, they love hockey here. It is it's certainly beyond anything I expected at this juncture. You mentioned next year, and whether it would start in November, December, or even later. You've just gone through, and I hate to do this to you because it's been obviously this has been the biggest undertaking of your career. But next year, next season, it becomes just as important at some point in time. What are the plans for next season, Gary?
We're not formulating them yet. I know I saw some media commentary this week, which I don't even know where it came from. What we will do is the same thing we did with the return to play. We will explore all options. We will try to focus on every alternative we can imagine, and we're going to keep ourselves agile and flexible enough to react. And you saw that we did that with the return to play. When we hesitated, hesitated isn't the right word, we resisted deciding where we were going to place the hubs until the very last second, because I wanted to make sure we were in the safest possible locations. And so we're going to let the events that we have no control over and the timing of events unfolding determine exactly how we move forward at the appropriate time. So it's the same level of preparation and agility that we've tried to exercise for the return to play will be the way that we govern how we move forward with the 2021 season.
Our guest is Commissioner Gary Bettman. By the way, Flyers have just taken a 2-0 lead now.
It's 2-0. I thought you weren't doing play-by-play.
I'm just providing score updates. I can provide more detail on what Kevin Hayes just did. That was impressive.
Flyers came out a little bit stronger than they did the first game.
They sure did. And some throwbacks here going back to the 70s and the 80s of great Flyers and Islanders teams of decades gone by. And, you know, Commissioner, Gary and I were talking on our radio broadcast last night. It happened to be the 40th anniversary of two of the Stastny brothers defecting to Canada to join the Quebec Nordiques. That was the same year that the United States defeated the Soviets at Lake Placid. And to take a 30,000-foot view of hockey with the justice issues in our country, a pandemic, you know, what you feel can hockey's place can be in society, the greater society.
I've always said that the platforms we have and the terrific people we have associated with our game, we can use those platforms to make a positive difference in people's lives, to be an important part of the communities in which we play. And that's something we've always been committed to and will always be committed to. And as we focus on our efforts to date, there are places, like everyone, we can do better, and we pledge to.
Well, I know you went to Woodstock. You must have gone to a few Springsteen concerts over the years as well. Yesterday was the 45th anniversary of the release of Born to Run. And, you know, a lot of people on social media were posting their favorite songs, their favorite lyrics, et cetera. What's your favorite track from Born to Run?
I'm going to give you my favorite track. And it's Spirit in the Night. When that came out, that was different, extraordinary. I'll top that story. In the summer of 1973, I was living on Long Island. I was in college at the time and home for the summer. Bruce Springsteen was playing in a bar on Long Island in Roslyn. I think it was called My Father's Place. And they were simulcasting it on a local radio station. I was at that concert. And then about a month later, when I was in Ithaca, my girlfriend, who is now my wife of 45 years, and I drove up to Geneva, New York, because Springsteen was playing Homecoming at Hobart College in a movie theater in downtown Geneva. And I think we sat third row center, and the tickets were $5 each.
Wow. Fantastic. That was self-serving in a certain respect, because your PR man, Della Pina, is on the other line listening to this, and there may not be a bigger Springsteen fan than him. So this just guarantees that we get to have you back again. Our best to Mrs. Bettman and your entire family, and thanks for joining us, Gary.
And thank
always
you, Commissioner.
Great.
And when, I have
to be with you.
Next time, I'd like to have Della Pina come on, because I'll challenge him on the Springsteen stuff right there. I was on the beach in Asbury Park in 2002 when The Rising came out. I was 17, and they let me into the Stone Pony. Just let them know that.
All right.
Commissioner, thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon. Continued success.
Thanks. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs. Thanks for having me, guys.
Sure thing. Spirit in the Night. That is from Greetings from Asbury Park, Springsteen's first record. We could go on and on. That is Commissioner Gary Bettman. It is, again, 2-0 Islanders trailing the Flyers early on in the first period of that second-round series. Word from VegasTeamStore.com. For exclusive 2020 Vegas Golden Knights playoff gear, visit one of the Vegas Golden Knights official team store locations, the Armory at T-Mobile Arena, the Arsenal at City National Arena, and online at VegasTeamStore.com. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. We'll be right back.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dan Duva, Gary Lawless back with you. It's Nighttime at Noon. It is 12:35 Pacific Time. 2-0, the Flyers lead the Islanders with 6 minutes and change to go in the first period of that game. The first of three contests today after this one, which began shortly after noon. At 5 o'clock Pacific, Tampa Bay against Boston. That series tied 1-1. Andre Palat providing the overtime heroics yesterday for the Bolts. And then later this evening, the Dallas Stars try to take a 3-0 series lead over the Avalanche. Who would have thought that? That puck drop slated for just after 7:30. Well, Gary, that was an interesting conversation with the commish. I know that he had some Jersey roots and Springsteen fandom, but to pull out Spirit in the Night from Greetings from Asbury Park was pretty good, among other things that he brought to our attention.
Well, I was interviewing him, 7 or 8 years ago, and I asked him, what is something that no one in hockey knows about you? And he looked at me and he goes, I was at Woodstock. And then he told me the story of driving there. He was a young guy and like in his teens. And he drove there in a borrowed parent's car, you know, and they had to park forever away. And then they walked in and they only stayed for half a night, you know, but went because they weren't in their 20s. They weren't like, you know, they could get away. Like they were, you know, they snuck out, basically drove up there, checked it out, stayed for a while, and then got back under the cover of dawn to life in suburban Long Island. He's a different person than so many people realize has been. I'll be right, real frank. I get a text from him on my daughter's birthday every year.
Yeah.
You know, happy birthday to Lauren.
Like, yeah.
He's a real person. And I'll tell you what, I hope he gets to hand out the Stanley Cup this year. I think that's going to be difficult with some of the surroundings in terms of quarantine, et cetera, et cetera. But more importantly, when he hands the Stanley Cup out next year in front of fans, I sure as hell hope they don't boo him, because, man, oh, man, what he has done. And I know some people think it's tradition. I think it's a crappy tradition, and I think it's one that should be set aside. He's a corporate guy. That's his job. But he has also protected the fans in hockey. He put a franchise back in Winnipeg when there was an opportunity to do that. And, you know, we're watching hockey right now because of Gary Bettman.
I will never forget when the Golden Knights had their first home game, October of 2017. And while there was so much going on with the launch of a franchise days after the shooting here, I don't know how this happened. Somebody screwed up, I guess. But when Gary Bettman walked the gold carpet from outside T-Mobile Arena to Sheba Plaza into the arena, players were walking through, coaches were walking through. Somehow, Gary Bettman was partnered with yours truly. I've got this selfie of Gary Bettman and me walking the gold carpet, and everybody wanted to talk to Gary Bettman, of course. And while there was a burst of booing here or there, it was jocular. And Gary Bettman reiterated what he had said previously. We know Vegas is a legit franchise because they know to boo me. So he's taken it with a more lighthearted approach. And it'll be interesting to see what Seattle does in a couple of years.
You know, I don't know if I've told you this story. I haven't told it to the listeners before. The day of the first game in Winnipeg, when the franchise returned, they played on a Sunday afternoon against the Montreal Canadiens at a radio show in Winnipeg then, as part of some of the things that I did. And we requested the commissioner, and we were told no. It was Frank Brown then was his PR guy, not Delapina, who's doing it now. And they said no. And then we got a text back saying, okay, we're going to bring him. But at the first hint of booing, trouble, any of that stuff, we're yanking him. So we see, you know, there's a phalanx of Irish cops.
A phalanx.
New York Irish
like the
cops.
Swiss Guard.
Exactly. These guys are huge, retired, you know, Brooklyn Irish cops. They follow him around, and they're coming through the crowd. And Gary, you can't see him. He's
about my height.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is not tall.
Anyways, all of a sudden the crowd starts chanting, Gary, Gary. And he gets up on stage and he says to me, that's for you, right? And I said, I don't think so, Kavish. And so he had already told Mark Chipman that he wasn't going to go out on the ice, that's the owner of the Jets, for the ceremonial puck drop because he didn't want the woman ruined. He didn't want booing. He sent a text to Mark, said, I've changed my mind. I'll join you on the ice. And he got a real nice warm response. So yeah.
I think you told a longer version of that story our podcast Once Upon a Time.
Probably
so
did.
Folks who would like the longer version of that, check out SLGND. It's our podcast. We published one earlier this week talking about this series with the Canucks. Of course, Shane and Gary and Dave and me, the four of us talk every week or two, and it's on iTunes, it's on SoundCloud, it's everywhere you get your podcasts.
Before we get back to hockey, we'll just be your favorite track from Born to Run.
I have to say Thunder Road.
Okay, good.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
You can't go wrong.
I started playing the record, the actual vinyl record at home yesterday. How about you?
Backstreets.
Yeah. No, that's right there.
Born to Run's not too shabby.
Yeah, no,
either.
It's only one of the best songs in history. Okay, yeah. So while that side of things is interesting, and we look forward to how the NHL proceeds with this postseason, there is hockey underway as we speak. 3-0 now, the Islanders trailing the Flyers. Kevin Hayes scoring the first two, and then Sean Couturier with the third. And notable here, Gary, because these are a couple of the guys who, while so good in the regular season, have been basically absent for Alain Vigneault's Flyers here in the playoffs. I mean, for Couturier to finally get a goal, holy Toledo, Giroux and Sanheim assist on that one at 15:09 of the first period. So Philly up on New York, 3-0 here in the first period. And in the regular season, by the way, Couturier had 22 goals and 59 points. Yet here in the playoffs, coming into the day, had no goals and 5 assists. So trying to kick it in gear for him, a star in junior hockey, and now on one of these really impressive teams at the NHL level. So before we take a break here, Gary, when you think about this series with the Islanders and the Flyers are watching right now, impressions from what you see from these two?
Well, you know, the Islanders, they play on the edge. They have to play almost perfect with their style, and if they're not paying attention to detail, the Flyers have a ton of firepower, and we've seen that so far, 3-0. And also, you know, you got to get great goaltending if you're going to play the way the Islanders play, and doesn't look to me like New York has gotten great goaltending so far.
Varlamov went 2 shutouts in a row, instead of an Islanders record.
Them, right? That's Grice in there now, so that's a big factor.
And we'll see how the Bruins and the Lightning go with their goaltenders today, playing the back end of back-to-back.
Speaking of goaltenders, when we come back, why don't we talk about what Vegas should do in that?
I think that's a very interesting idea. Let's take a timeout. First, a word from our friends at Rock Creek Cattle Company, a hidden gem located in the heart of Montana. It's a 28,000-acre cattle ranch with something for everybody. A world-class golf course, fly fishing, hunting, horseback riding, and more. Escape the bright lights and discover Big Sky, Montana. Exclusive memberships and real estate opportunities are available now. Here's the website for more information, rockcreekcattlecompany.com. You're listening to Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
There's the boss. Little Bruce Springsteen bringing us out of the break, 12:48 in Las Vegas.
You just sounded like a DJ.
Well, would you know that here on the 26th of August, 2020, that song we just heard, Radio Nowhere, boy, that is 2007, day after tomorrow, the 28th of August. I was in Long Branch, New Jersey, where Bruce Springsteen also lived at once upon a time. When that song came out, the internet and songs being posted on the internet was kind of new.
Yeah.
That was the first time I woke up in the morning to download a song release.
Cool.
Long Branch, New Jersey, 2007. Anyway, we digress. We've got a few minutes left in the program here at nighttime at noon. Dan Duva, Gary Lawless here. Great job by Jarrett, by the way, in the studio. Yeah. Gary, we have some questions coming in from the Twitterverse.
Yeah. The first question is, Fleury for game three, question mark.
Well, let's start with this. Pete DeBoer was asked about goaltenders earlier today when he addressed the media, and he went back to what he has said multiple times. They've got a plan, and he said, nothing has changed our plan to use both goalies. He did not expand on game-to-game what that looks like. He is not showing us his cards, but he is reminding us that they have a plan and they have not deviated from that plan so far.
So, first of all, right off the top, there is no bad choice. If he goes back to Leonard, Leonard has been excellent. He's lost two games in the playoffs. If he goes to Fleury, the last game Fleury played in the Blackhawks series, he was tremendous. Maybe the best performance, including the shutout the other night. Fleury won 2-1, and he was really sharp. Maybe the best performance of either Golden Knights goalies that we've seen in return to play.
I would agree. Just because you have a shutout doesn't mean the goaltender stole you the win. Fleury, I think, was instrumental in securing that victory.
Well, a number of players said he stole the win for us. So, I said last night in the heat of the moment that I would go with Fleury. And, you know, I woke up this morning, I was thinking about that. There's two schools of thought. You know what I mean? Get Leonard right back in there so you don't shake his confidence. The other thing for me is, I bet you Leonard feels like he's on a little bit of an island right now, and that there is some pressure on him that he has to live up to being the guy. And he doesn't have to be the guy. You have two elite goaltenders. So, you know what I mean? Like, the opportunity to play Fleury, I think it's there. I think it would be good for Leonard. I also think Fleury is going to be very motivated and very hungry to perform. That's no secret. His agent made a pretty big hullabaloo about him not playing.
I would say, yes.
Listen, I'm not filling out the lineup card, and I'll go back to what I said at the start. There is no wrong answer. There's no bad choice here. If I was filling out the card tomorrow, I'd go with 29. I'd give him a crack.
I feel the same way, and that was my thought from last night, too. And when you think about Robin Leonard, I mean, he's playing these games. He has not gone into a playoff run like this. Nobody has. But his only previous real playoff experience was a great first round and a not good second round. Four wins in the first and four losses in the second.
Yeah.
So Marc-Andre Fleury, meanwhile, has played top five postseason games in NHL history. So there's something to be said for that experience and his last game. I would, and who knows how this might have played out differently if Fleury had been lights out in that one game of the round robin when he was not good, gave up two goals in 21 seconds. You were waiting for one goalie to slip or one goalie to take the reins. Both were pretty good, Fleury in the exhibition game, Robin in the first round robin game. But then when Fleury slipped, that's when Leonard sort of took the reins. Fleury then seemed to get some measure of cachet back with that win against Chicago, but it has been Leonard starting each game since then. And if the plan is to use Marc-Andre Fleury in the postseason, as Pete DeBoer has said, I also wonder how long can you go without allowing him game action?
Yeah, like for sure. And if you're just going to play him in those back-to-back situations, I don't think you're doing yourself any favor, and you shouldn't be shocked if you put him in and he struggles, because he won't have. They haven't played very much here.
Right.
They took four and a half months off.
Well, let's just take it from the extreme bad case for the Golden Knights. Let's say they end up losing against Vancouver in, I don't know, six or seven games. Let's just say that. And Fleury's only two games in the play. Well, let's just say that Fleury's only two games in the postseason were the two back-to-backs, one in the first round and one in the second round. Everybody will say Fleury should have been used.
Well, you know what? It's very rare that I see something on Twitter that I look at it and go, hey, that's actually true. And someone tweeted either last night or this morning, what's the point of having two two elite goaltenders if you're not going to use them
both.
And
that's my point.
Yeah, no, but so the more we talk about this, the more I'm convinced that that's what I would do. Again, this isn't questioning Pete DeBoer. Whatever he does is going to be a good decision. You know, both guys are capable of winning game three for you, and I'm not even sure if who's in net will have that much of a bearing. And that is again why I would probably go with Marc-Andre Fleury, because he needs to play.
Leonard's performance last night in game two was far from his best, but he was not the culprit in the Golden Knights' loss. You can look all up and down the lineup for culprits in that department. It was not a strong game overall. However, if Leonard was, you know, like a brick wall, you know, maybe he makes an early save and it changes the complexion of the game. We'll never know. But I'm with you on the idea of you've got two great goaltenders. It's almost like going into a baseball postseason with a couple of great starting pitchers. You want to maximize both of them, get as many innings out of them as you can. And right now, Leonard has the lion's share of the minutes for the Golden Knights. We've got just a couple of minutes left on the program, Gary. Quick thoughts on the other two games that we're going to see today, the other series. As mentioned, right now, the Flyers leading the Islanders 3-0 after one period. 5 o'clock, Boston and Tampa Bay, and 7:30, Colorado and Dallas.
Well, Colorado has to win. They've got to, you know, they go down 3-0. It's 90% chance you're going to lose the series.
It's only happened four times in NHL history.
Yeah, so this is the... You know, they always say there's no must wins until it's an elimination game. Well, baloney. This is a must win. you got to win this one. And the Tampa Boston series now at 1-1, really interesting, and in a back to back situation after an overtime game. Which roster is deeper? Which coach is able to use more players? And Tampa, I think that maybe they might have felt a little pressure. In the first two games, they've probably shed that. I like the Lightning today.
Coming off the overtime win yesterday. You can bring the spirit of the Fortress Zone during the 2020 playoffs with a watch party kit. Support your Golden Knights with battle towels, noisemakers, tattoos, and more. Get your kit at the Arsenal or at VegasTeamStore.com. That'll just about wrap it up for the program today. Don't forget Golden Knights Insider Show from 4 to 6 p.m. Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace will be with you for that. Game 3 of this series between Vegas and Vancouver is tomorrow. Series tied at 1 win apiece. Pre-game show at 6 o'clock and puck drop will come shortly after 6:45. Thanks to Jared Justice and Garrett Calloway behind the scenes. For my partner Gary Lawless, Dan Duva saying so long from our studios here at City National Arena. Enjoy your Bruce Springsteen and have a great day, everybody. On we go.